Okay, we're ready to go, and it's good to see all of you here as we continue our study in the life of David. We are in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 21 through 25. This is the L. Nelsonville class, and it's great to see all of you here this morning as we continue this journey through the Old Testament. And I hope you, like I, am finding out that our lives are not much different from people of ancient times. And we see a very interesting situation now developing in the life of David as he interacts with his men that are following him, as well as his victory on the battlefield. But before we get into that, let's come to the Lord and ask for his guidance as we study his word together. Let's pray. Father, it is a privilege to be able to gather here and to study your word, to yield our hearts and our minds to the power of your Holy Spirit very consciously, seeking your truth, desiring to know what you would have us do with our lives, convicted by your Spirit, encouraged by your Spirit. Lord, teach us and deepen our joy in knowing that we are children of the King. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of this is actually Share and Share Alike. And there were several weeks back when I told you we had a lesson that was not a lot of fun to teach because it was really hard on me, and I think it was hard on you as well. It was all about respect for authority and how we apply that in our Christian lives, in our own culture and our own time. Well, I've got news for you today. This is a lesson I am really glad to be able to give you, because what is being taught in this is such an encouragement as well as a convictor of how we are to live our lives. Now, we're coming into the life of David as he moves through this period of exile. He's on the run from King Saul. Saul's still trying to kill him. David and his men have taken refuge in a Philistine city called Ziklag. They've raided the countryside around them using deception, telling everyone they've been raiding Israelite people, when in fact they've been raiding enemies of Israel. And they're supposed to go to battle with the Philistines. The Philistines do not want them in the lines with them, so they tell them, no, you cannot come, you must go back. When they get back to Ziklag, they find that other raiders have come and taken everything out of the city. They've taken all of their families away. They've taken their flocks. They've taken their clothes. They've taken their jewelry, just completely wiped out. So after a time of mourning, and it seems a time of repentance on the top part of David, he and his men head out to go attack these folks. And that's where we pick this up. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 21 through 25. They've fought the people, and David is coming back with everything. David came to the 200 men who had been too exhausted to follow David and who had been left at the brook Bezel. And they went out to meet David and to meet the people who were with him. When David came near to the people, he greeted them. Then all the wicked and worthless fellows among the men who had gone with David said, because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we have recovered, except that each man may lead away his wife and children and depart. But David said, you shall not do so, my brothers, with what the Lord has given us. He has preserved us and given into our hand the band that came against us. Who would listen to you in this matter? For as his share is who goes down into the battle, so shall his share be who stays by the baggage. They shall share alike. And he made it a statute and a rule for Israel from that day forward to this day. This is the word of God. We've got to start out by making the very plain statement. We are all equally important to God and to Jesus Christ. We are all equally important to God and Jesus Christ. But we all also have different abilities, different talents, different strengths, different experiences. That makes us a little different from one another. And because of those differences, we tend to think this person is more important than that person. Or, if we're really honest with ourselves, I'm a lot better than that person. I am more necessary than that person is necessary. Look at that person. Look at me. I am better. We can do without this person. We can't do without that person. It's just part of being human. And that's what we're going to be talking about in this lesson today. When we have that attitude and we let it grow, that we're more important than somebody else, or this person is more important than that person, in the church as well as in the world, there's going to be trouble. There's going to be trouble because of that kind of attitude. Now, we come across in this strange passage, David going out and conquering and coming back with the plunder, and it establishes an ancient rule for Israelite warriors, that those who stay with the baggage get equal amount with those who went out to fight. Now, you may remember, if you've read through this, or if you're familiar with the story, what happened was, when they got back to their town of Ziklag and realized everything was gone, they all were in mourning, they got ready to stone David. David was distraught himself. Then they say, all right, we're going to go find these people, we're going to get our stuff back, let's go. Now, they've already been on a forced march from the Philistine front lines back to Ziklag. We're not sure exactly how far, but it had to be exhausting. And now they've got to still go with their armament to go attack these raiders. And out of the 600, there are 200 men who say, we can't do it. We are exhausted. We cannot go any further. And they are left behind with the baggage. Now, I think also in that phrase, with the baggage, we can pretty much surmise they were also left behind so that somebody else didn't come and take what little they had left. They learned their lesson. Don't leave it completely desolate. Don't leave the women and children behind with no one to protect them. So these 200, because they cannot physically go on any further, stay back with the baggage. They're not doing the fighting, but they're protecting the necessary items. And when their success on the field, and David and the 400 come back with all the plunder, there's some men. These are not the top quality of the society folks in David's band. There's some pretty ornery fellows. The description is the wicked and worthless fellows among them said, these guys didn't fight. They don't get any of this plunder. We're the ones who fought. We risked our lives to get this back. They don't get any of this. We'll give them their wives and their children, and then that's it. And David says, not at all. Not at all. Those who are with the baggage share equally amount with those who go into battle. Just because they weren't physically strong enough doesn't rule them out for sharing in all the spoils of the victory. The Lord is the one who gave the victory, not the warriors. David specifically states that. It's in verse 23. David said, you shall not do so, my brothers, with what the Lord has given us. He has preserved us and given into our hand the band that came against us. He recognizes it wasn't the strength of the men, even though they could make that extra march and be there, and they drew their weapons and they defeated these others, but it was the Lord who gave the victory. And because it was the Lord who gave the victory, all share equally in what was won. Now, this ancient rule of the warriors of Israel applies to the Christian church of today as well. We're not going out to physical war, but we're involved in spiritual warfare. Look at all the different types of people in the church. look at all the different types of people in the Church of Jesus Christ, just in our own local congregation, in our local area. Look at the different types of people in the church around the world. Different colors, different languages, different customs. But look at all of the ones who say, Jesus Christ is Lord and we are His. We have been bought with His blood. Now, the passage that is critical in this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 21 through 27. Now, this is going to sound familiar, but it might not have been applied in particularly this way. 1 Corinthians 12, 21 through 27. Paul is speaking to the church in Corinth about their difficulties in the divisions that are there, and one group is saying, we're better than that group, one person saying they're better than another person. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. We share and share alike in the joy of being the Christian church. That is the word of God. All parts of the body of Christ. And the list of the gifts of the Spirit is not exhaustive. In fact, our own common sense of observation tells us as we look around and we see people that look different, act different, do different things from ourselves. We're not talking about sinful things. We're talking about good things. We realize they're really gifted in that area. That might not be their strongest suit. There are those differences, but we are all part of one body. We're all part of the body of Christ. Hands, feet, head, eyes, ears, nose, mouth. Every part is essential and is necessary for the body to function as the Lord intends it to. And we are involved in spiritual warfare against the powers of darkness, against the rulers and authorities of the world, and we do it together. Yes, we have our personal battles. We've talked about that a good bit. But as the Church of Jesus Christ, we have other battles to shine the light of Christ to a watching world to say, the world says this is what should be done. We're saying something very different. We say life is important. We say that weakness should be cared for. We say that those who are in trouble should be rescued. We say that we use what God has given us to help those who are in need. And of course, it involves physical situations, but even more than that, it involves mental and emotional situations. The body of Christ, as we work together within the body, as well as the watching world, to take care of those who are lonely. A phone call, a note, a drop by visit. To take care of those who are depressed, who are down, who need companionship, who need encouragement, who need the sympathy and the strength of others. This is the body of Christ. And even for those who are so impressed with their own strength and abilities, perhaps a really good friend who might come up and say, you need an attitude check. You're not that important. This is what is meant by the body of Christ functioning together, and this is what is meant by share and share alike. We are in spiritual warfare, and if we're going to be victorious, we do this together as a body of Christ, physically right here in our own congregation, in a greater sense throughout the world, with missionaries, with other contacts we have, with fellow believers. We cannot sit in this chapel and not realize what this church has done through the blessings of God to change the entire world. The number of families who have been out in the name of Christ as missionaries to foreign countries over the decades, maybe the centuries, that have been involved in the history of this church in this area. It is the body of Christ, and we share and share alike. But it doesn't always work out, does it? There are times in local churches, as well as in the church worldwide, that there are problems. There are people, including ourselves, who still want to maintain there are degrees of importance. Now, we all know that Scripture tells us that we need to pray for a spirit of discernment to be able to understand what is good and true and right and what is bad and wrong. But I'm talking about here degrees of importance when you look at every member of a church. From the ones that you and I may think are not carrying their load to the ones we think are doing way too much, all are important to the life of the church. Some of us may need a little help along the way. We might not be doing the work that God has called us to do. But again, it's to be a joy to exercise our gifts, to be the person God has created us to be, is a joyful thing. It's not done out of oughtness. It's not done out of guilt. It's done out of a great sense of thankfulness and gratitude to Christ. We use what He's given us, not for ourselves, but to help others out. Now, James is a very practical wisdom book in the New Testament. There are a lot of particular problems that James is addressing in the early Christian church. Chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. He's been talking about the wealthy looking down on the poor, and those who come well-dressed into worship, and those who come in not-so-good clothes. But these are the verses that I'm taking after he's talked about that. James 2, 8, and 9. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. A sin of partiality? It seems to me it's got to be really related to that root of bitterness. When once you and I begin to think that that person is not as important as that person, we've created division. We've created friction. When we can come with the attitude to every person that God brings into our lives, this person is every bit as important to God as I am or that person. It makes a difference in how we treat them. They can perceive it. Without words or actions, it can be perceived by the spirits of human beings, whether they are valued or whether they are not. And as David instituted this ancient law for Israelite warriors, it applies to us as well. All shall share together in the joy and the life that Jesus Christ brings. And we are here to encourage one another and to function as a body. Find out what God would have us do. Do that to the best of our ability and not be critical of somebody else who does something very different but is still building up the body of Christ using the gifts that God has given them. The attitudes, if not the actions, are really what's most important. And that's when it gets into our understanding our own hearts and the Holy Spirit of God wrestling with our spirits to show us if that is something that needs to be addressed in our lives. Every person shares in the joy of the Christian life. The baggage handlers and the mighty warriors. equally the same. Who's essential? Every age, from the oldest to the youngest, essential. Every educational ability, from the most highly educated to the least educated, are still essential. From the very wealthy to the poorest, all are essential in the body of Christ. That's what this truth is stressing. We all share equally in the rewards of being in Christ's family, the church. So, as I said to begin with, to me, this is a joyful proclamation, but it can also convict, because it's a wonderful truth that created in God's image, redeemed by Jesus Christ from our sins, washed and made clean from that, we have work to be done as the body of Christ, and that is seen in the way we treat each other, how we think about each other, and it goes beyond just the church, even to the world around us. How we value things and what we value is going to be very different from what non-Christians value and what is most important to them. This is what we do, regardless. All we share alike in the blessings of God, and we work as His family, as His body. There is a relatively modern hymn. I was surprised to look at the dates of this. It's called, We Are God's People. And much to my amazement also, make sure I've got it right, yep, the music was provided by a fellow named Johannes Brahms. Been around a while. But the words are from the 1960s, 1970s. We are God's people, the chosen of the Lord, born of His Spirit, established by His Word. Our cornerstone is Christ alone, and strong in Him we stand. Oh, let us live transparently and walk heart to heart and hand in hand. We are God's loved ones, the bride of Christ our Lord, for we have known it, the love of God outpoured. Now let us learn how to return the gift of love once given. Oh, let us share each joy and care and live with a zeal that pleases heaven. We are the body of which the Lord is head, called to obey Him, now risen from the dead. He wills us be a family diverse yet truly one. Oh, let us give our gifts to God, and so shall His work on earth be done. We are a temple, the Spirit's dwelling place, formed in great weakness, a cup to hold God's grace. We die alone, for on its own each ember loses fire, yet, joined in one, the flame burns on to give warmth and light and to inspire. We are called to weep with those who weep and to rejoice with those who rejoice, especially if they're different from us. Let's pray. Lord, Your kingdom is so strange to our human nature. We constantly need reminding and we need Your teaching to re-educate ourselves in what is important and what is not. In who is important and who is not. Father, grant that in this coming week, we will be particularly aware of the essential nature of every person in our own church family, as well as in this world at large. Lord God, give us wisdom and how to show Your love. Give us the desire to do that. And may Your name be praised. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.